Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords.
This is the Rental Income Podcast.
And now, Dan Lane.
Daniel, you had bought a couple of rental properties, and then one day a light bulb went off in your head.
I figured out a plan on how I could leave my job and invest full time.
Daniel had a really good job that he had been at for a long time. He was working towards a pension, but he ran some numbers and he figured out that if he worked at it for 5 years, he would make way more off of his rental portfolio than he ever would at his job. And it wouldn't matter if he walked away from his pension. So he put together a plan. He put his head down. He worked really hard for 5 years and he did it. He replaced his job income with his rental income. And on the show today, we're going to figure out how he did it. Joining us on the show today from Philadelphia is Daniel Harvey. We'll take a really quick break. We'll thank our sponsors. We'll come right back and we'll meet Daniel. The first step in buying a rental property is to get pre-qualified. And I would suggest you work with a lender that specializes in working with investors, because the last thing you want to have happen is to get to closing and find out the money's not there and you can't close. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender and she'll pre-qualify you for free if you mention Rental Income Podcast. Find out more today. Contact Chaley at ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E, lendinggroup.com. NMLS 42056. Daniel, you have done something that I really admire and I think is incredible. You decided you wanted to leave your job, and within 5 years, you had built up enough monthly rental income that you didn't need your day job anymore. Let's talk about how you did this.
But what we're really talking about is becoming financially independent.
Right. Like
that's the overarching theme here.
Right.
And so becoming financially independent is a tremendous task. Most people, most adults never become financially independent. Even if they're high income earners, that is a difference. They may make a lot of money, but they don't control where the income comes from, meaning it either comes from a job or something like that. Or their expenses, even if they make all this money, still outpaces their income. So they have to continue to work. They don't have enough investments that pay for their lifestyle. So that is a monumental task that you have to undertake to become financially independent. So if you want to take on any monumental task, you have to understand it's not going to be done in a place of like comfortableness.
Right.
You're going to have to sacrifice something. And so they need to really wrap their minds around this. I'm trying to do something that is not an easy thing. It is certainly achievable. It's not easy. And so you're going to have to sacrifice something. And so when I came up with that goal from when I was 30 to when I was 35, that I was going to leave SEPTA. That was my overarching goal. That was the goal. So all of my decisions from that point until the point that I left SEPTA, they all had to align with that goal. So if I couldn't take a vacation, if I couldn't buy that car that I wanted to buy, whatever the case is, I couldn't go hang out because I needed to go look at some properties or to go analyze deals. That's what I had to do. And right. So, I think that's the sort of, you have to kind of steel yourself to the task that you're trying to achieve, which is not an easy task.
Right. Yeah. Did it feel like a sacrifice as you were going through it? Because I mean, you could have easily bought that car or you could have easily had gone on that vacation. But if you did, you wouldn't be where you are today. So like you made that sacrifice early on. Did it feel like a sacrifice or did it just feel like this is what I need to do? And buying that car is going to stop me from getting to where I want to be.
So it really depended on what the situation was. Sometimes it felt like a sacrifice. Sometimes it felt like this is what is necessary.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, again, that's what kept me going. Yeah. Because I knew, okay, yes, I don't do this now, but it puts me in a place where, you know, in the future I could, you know, kind of do what I want. And so for the few sacrifices that I took then, and for, you know, coming up on Christmas, this will be 6 years. 6 years I haven't had to. 6 years I haven't had to ask my boss, can I take off? Mm-hmm. 6 years I didn't have to call in, cough, cough, I'm sick because I want to take off.
Right.
You know, 6 years of just being able to do truly what I want. And now since my kids are getting older, I can go to their events. And my son was just here at the office earlier. You know, I can do those things and I don't have to ask anybody else if I can. It's just I decide that's what I want and then that's what I do. And so those sacrifices now, they seem more than worthwhile. You know, I don't think back on them like, wow,
right,
you know,
right.
I wish I, yeah, I'm, they're not even a thought, you know, except for, you know, me having this conversation.
Yeah.
But no, it was nothing that was so dreadful that I'm still like thinking about it.
Daniel, so when you came up with your plan on how you could leave your job, did you have any rentals at that point?
You know, a bit of a backstory is I was working at SEPTA. I had a separate business at the time where I was doing events, and I stumbled into real estate. It was my mother who actually encouraged me to buy real estate because I was in my early 20s and I was making money. I had no real interest, but you know, it's mom. So I said I'd go out and look and maybe I'd tell her no later on, make her feel good. But as I was looking at properties, I said, you know what, this wouldn't be a bad third income stream. I ended up purchasing a bank owned property, which opened my eyes. And I had no strategy at the time. Strategy was simple. I had like $25,000 saved up and the property cost $20,000. I sold that property about a year and a half later for like $87,500. And it was like, whoa.
Wow, right? That's nice.
It was a check I got. It was more than I made all year working. And what that did was it had opened my mind to the possibilities of what real estate could possibly do. And I had bought a triplex like shortly thereafter that I had moved into what they call house hacking now. And I bought it for like $76,500 and sold it to the, I lived there for a while. I met my wife, sold it to the tenant that moved in after me like 2 years later for like $180,000.
Wow.
And I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
I'm making money in this business and I have no idea what I'm doing. If I read a book, I may be dangerous. And so that's when I decided to really focus in. And that is what motivated me to that 5-year plan. I was like, okay, I'm 30 in 5 years. I should be able to buy enough real estate, learn enough that I can get out of this job. And yeah, I quit 3 days before my 35th birthday.
Incredible. Okay. So you've got the plan, but at this point, it's really, when you're starting out, it's really just kind of a dream. I mean, you've had some success with the properties, but like, what exactly was your plan? Like how many rentals did you need to get to? Like what kind of cash flow were you looking at? Like what exactly was your plan?
Got it. So, to be totally honest and transparent, I was not that sophisticated then that I was thinking about cash flows and units.
Okay.
What I thought of, I looked at it differently. This is how my mind processed it at the time. I said, okay, let me take what I'm making gross, my gross income at that time, and double it.
Okay.
And in my mind, I said, well, if I can make this much money and my rental income, then I would feel comfortable leaving the job because I felt you know, I felt that my job's income was, you know, was very stable. If I worked a week, I was definitely getting paid that Friday. Mm-hmm. Rental income, you know, as you know, is not certain.
Right.
You know, it should come in, but it's not certain. So I figured, okay, worst case, even if half of my tenants didn't pay me, I would still be okay. The right. one thing about myself, as I'm very pragmatic by nature. So I wanted to make sure that when I left, that I was not coming back. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I figured it out. It wasn't, I guess the cash flow was the, you know, twice the gross. So I was probably thinking about $12,000 to $13,000 is what I was thinking. And actually by the time I left, I had actually beat that number.
Great. So, all right. So with you know, realizing that you don't quite have everything figured out in the beginning, like, did you know enough back then that, hey, there's going to be some repairs, you know, I'm going to have upgrades to do from time to time. Were you thinking that there were going to be expenses, or were you just thinking, as long as I make double in rental income what I'm making at my job, everything's going to work out?
No, I think I was at the time, it was just kind of whatever my gross income was.
Okay.
Because I was buying at the time, I was buying. So just, you know, just so you understand the period, because it makes it plays into my story, is when I decided this process, when I turned 30, that was 2010. Mm-hmm. So that was right after the whole collapse, and there were a ton of bank owned properties. So I was buying properties fairly cheap. And I had cash from the sale of my previous properties. And so I was able to buy properties, you know, my average property at the time I was buying was like $30,000, $40,000.
Okay.
So they did not have gigantic mortgages on them.
Right.
I wasn't paying. So yeah, I was just thinking in terms of just the gross rental income.
Okay. Awesome. All right. So how many doors, like, did you have a plan that, like, to get the kind of income that I want to get? Like, did you, were you thought out on, I need this many doors?
Sure. So over time, there was a couple of things, right? So I was buying properties, but I was also simultaneously learning the business. So understanding, okay, you know, I should be getting this much rent, so that I know for a fact that I can qualify for this much of a mortgage, which will get me back my capital, and I should get this much cash flow. Mm-hmm. So yes, I started to kind of piece those things in as I purchased more property and as I learned more,
right?
As I read more books, as I joined groups and you know, bought some courses. You know, I spent a lot of time, you know, during those 5 years really learning. Mm-hmm. So, and watching, you know, YouTube videos, and all sorts of things, just right. to try to piece together all of this information. And, you know, towards the latter years, I stumbled into the process. But then I realized, like, oh, I can buy these properties at a certain price. I can fix them up and I can recapture all of my capital. Wow. You know, like the whole BRRRR system, it was that, but it didn't have a name.
Right.
I was just doing it. I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. Like, I can actually just recycle this same capital. And since I was working and I kept my expenses low, and so I was able to push all of the capital back into deals. And that's what, and I didn't use the money, for lifestyle purposes. I just kept just recycling all of the money
that's
into
great.
The deals.
And then how did you figure out what to buy? Like, were you, like, when you're buying $30,000 properties, a lot of times that those properties need a lot of work and maybe they're not in the best neighborhoods. Like, did you figure out that some properties were better than others, or did you just get lucky and buy good properties right out of the gate?
So I would say luck. I think that I have a natural gift for this business, knack for it, I would say, because I bought in the suburbs. So originally I didn't buy in the city, actually. Mm-hmm. I moved into the suburbs and I purchased in the burbs, and I bought the burbs got hit really hard, mm-hmm. Especially in the blue collar sections. So a lot of people lost their homes, unfortunately.
Right.
And so I was able to pick up properties that did not need a lot of work for really low numbers, you know.
Okay.
You know, homes that are now, you know, $200,000-$300,000. I was picking them up for $40,000-$50,000.
Incredible. Wow.
Some of the progress, some of the growth came in when I realized, okay, I'm spending this money out in the burbs, but I could go into Philadelphia. Maybe it's not such a great neighborhood, but I'm not paying $4,000 or $5,000 in real estate taxes, right? So that property is actually netting me more money, but it's right. costing me the same, you know, it's the same purchase price. And it's about the same rental amount.
Right. Okay.
So that's when I sort of switched from buying out in the burbs to buying into the city. So,
okay. Yeah.
That was a little bit of an aha moment. Like, you know what? I can buy the same properties here and make an extra $2,000-$3,000 a month doing the same thing. Yearly.
Yeah. Now, tell me about the money. So you mentioned that you were recycling the money. So the rent checks would come in. You would put that money into buying more rental properties. And so is that how you were funding everything, that you would use the rent money to buy rentals and then you would refi that money out and use that money to keep going?
Yeah. Prior to buying the rentals, like I said, I had bought and sold a few properties. So I had some cash.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember exactly how much it was, but I definitely had some cash.
Okay.
So I would go out, sometimes I would buy two properties. I at minimum, I had about $100,000. It was probably more than that. I could buy two of those $30,000 properties. I probably have enough cash left over to kind of work on one. And then I would refinance, you know, work on the other. I just was a process like that. It was very slow, but
yeah.
But there was a method to it.
Yeah.
And I would just, you know, get the property cash flow and I'd go back to the lender. They would refi me out and I would use that same capital over and over. I used my own money for 5 years. I didn't take any investors. It was no hard money. It was just my own money. Now I will say it was nerve wracking
because yeah.
once your money's all out there, you have to wait, you know, until they go through the process and then you get your money back. And, but you know, it taught me to be disciplined, with my own cash. And so, you know, I think that's been very helpful with how I use, investor money, now.
Right. Now talk to me about when you hit your goal. So 5 years in, you're at your goal, you've got double the cash flow than you did from your salary. Like, were you nervous to quit it all? Because, I mean, you had a good job. You had a pension. You were working for SEPTA. Were you nervous to quit, like, when you actually got to the point where you knew you could?
I was extremely nervous. And in hindsight, it kind of doesn't make sense. I was making so much more money in rental income. I think it's just the power of how you're taught. Kind of hold on to those jobs. But yes, I was very nervous. And then my own personal character, where, you know, I taking care of my family very, very seriously. And I'm like, well, is this the right thing? You know, should I wait? You know, I just had my daughter. And so I had these built-in excuses. Quite frankly, I was wavering. wavering. And my wife said, listen, if you don't leave now, you will never leave. And that was like, whoa, okay. If she believes in me this much to basically, they say, listen, do it now. You know, again, it's not like I'm leaving a, you know, minimum wage type job. This is a really, really solid, solid job. But I felt like if she had that much faith, then I should have that much faith. And so I just went ahead and I moved forward.
Yeah.
Ultimately, it's even bigger than just the money. You know, I would not have been able to gain my full potential staying here. So what? I made the money, but I'm only a piece of what I could have been.
Right.
And that, right. And that to me is more powerful than just the money. Right. And,
yeah.
and that's what I've learned in this process, is who you become is so much more interesting and so much more satisfying than just money.
Yeah.
Right. Money is good. You know, money is great. Money is a tool. You know, it's good to have money. I've had no money. I know how that feels. That sucks.
Yeah.
But knowing that you're growing and that you are becoming your kind of your best self, that is a feeling that certainly eclipses monetary gain.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you 100% on that. So then once you quit, you know, so it's like you built this rental portfolio as you were working full time. And I mean, what you did was really incredible. But now that you've quit your job and you're able to work full time, like, what have you been able to do since you retired? Like, where are you today with real estate?
Yeah. So it's very interesting. When I quit SEPTA, something different happened. I thought, well, what happens is you can immerse yourself fully into real estate. Mm-hmm. Right. And so that goes to networking and meeting people, and you are fully immersed in the business. Right now I have 60 plus units, but we have another 100 units in our rehab pipeline. So properties or lots that I own that we are in the process of rehabbing or doing ground up projects on.
Really inspirational story. 60 plus units worth over $7 million. Daniel, I'm so proud of you. Congratulations. And thank you for taking the time to talk to us today. If anybody wants to connect with Daniel, I've got all of his information on the website. You can find his website, his Instagram, his email. It's at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode293. I'd like to thank today's sponsor for making this episode possible. It's Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. If Daniel inspired you and you're ready to buy your first rental property or you want to add to your portfolio, the lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge. She lends nationwide and she focuses on working with investors. She has a ton of different loan programs and she can find something customized to you for your exact situation. If you want to find out more or set up a time to talk to Chaley personally, just go to ridgelendinggroup.com. If you mention Rental Income Podcast, she will waive all the pre-qualification fees. NMLS 42056. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe. We have new interviews every single Tuesday. And if you subscribe, you'll get notified as soon as they come out. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Peer Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.